NPR.com. This is WFAE News.
Support for NPR comes from Living Essentials, distributor of 5-Hour Energy, with flavors including grape, berry, and orange, in stores and at 5hourenergy.com.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Although the South End area of Charlotte started coming to life in the 1850s with the arrival of the railroad, by the end of the 20th century, it had fallen from its glory days. Once a center for cotton mills and the neighborhoods that housed mill workers, by the 1980s, the area was little more than a series of vacant buildings and lots of blight on the landscape, and a place you certainly wouldn't want to be after dark. Today, South End is one of the city's most vibrant areas. It's hip, it's happening, and it's growing. Yep, the Lynx Blue Line is partly responsible for the resurrection of the area, but so are some visionaries who were willing to take a chance before light rail arrived. In fact, before light rail was promised. It's also an area where history wasn't bulldozed to make way for the new. At least not entirely. Old buildings were repurposed even as new structures grew around them. And the result is an area with character. And it is why the term historic South End may have been laughable when it first came into use, but is a fitting description today. We take a look back on the ebb and flow of this vibrant area of town with several of the people who are responsible for its resurgence. Gaines Brown moved his exhibit design business to South End in the 1980s and helped improve the vibe of what was then an industrial wasteland. He was president of the Charlotte Trolley and negotiated with the city and Norfolk Southern Railroad to get the trolley back on the tracks, and was actively involved throughout the resurgence of South End to bring it to what it is today. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here.
Terry Shook is a founding partner and principal in the design firm of Shook Kelly. They christened the district Historic South End in the mid-1990s, and Terry was hired by the city to study how to revitalize the area, and he's responsible also for much of what you see there today. Thank you for joining us. And Ted Boyd is director of South End for Charlotte Center City Partners, which sounds to me like an oxymoron, but we'll talk about that. Ted, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here. As I understand, prior to its revitalization, South End didn't have a name, and you, Terry, are the person who coined the phrase. How did you arrive at South End, or actually historic South End, if that's the actual phrase?
The name actually came about during a trip that Kevin Kelly and Tony Presley took to Dallas, Texas on a fact-finding mission. We happened to have left a practice in uptown Charlotte, and I think we were the second tenant in Atherton Mill back in the day, which
wow.
Tony had got, you know, underway. And we looked around and said, you know, there's something here for Charlotte. Perhaps Charlotte needs an UNCOLA. That all these lawyers and bankers running down in uptown need a compensating balance in their life and in culture, and that would be a good thing for the city as well. Of course, we knew about Gaines's great work, and we were part of that choral building, you might say, of people who came together to really make South End what it was. I mean, I said it many times. Gaines, you've said it too. I think that it's the greatest grassroots effort in the history of the city of Charlotte, in a city where so many things are top down. South End from the very beginning was bottom up.
How did you have that vision? I mean, your design firm was downtown, correct?
Correct. I was at 413 North Tryon Street, which you can see the site from here, mm-hmm. On the corner where Rock Bottom Brewery is now. And lived in Southeast Charlotte and drove by an old building on South Tryon Street every day on my way to work. And as most creatives do, they sort of cut the path for things to come because the rent was cheap. And so I had my eye on a building that would have served my business's growth. And as a result, made an offer on some property in 1983, bought what is now the site where the Common Market and KM Salon is.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a vision that was really a reflective of a group, an organization in Alexandria, Virginia, called the Torpedo Art Factory. And it was a collaborative studio space with common galleries, and thought at the time that that's what Charlotte needed.
That's my hometown, so I'm very familiar with the Torpedo Factory. And when I was a kid growing up, the Torpedo Factory was just that. It was a vacant factory that used to make torpedoes, I think, in World War I or II. I've forgotten which now. And they've turned that into a multi-story artist studio gallery complex where tourists can go in and buy things, but where artists actually work. And around that has sprung up restaurants and stores, and the whole area has been revitalized. So that's where you got the idea.
I'm so pleased you're familiar with it, because it really was the inspiration between my business needs and what I felt like Charlotte needed as an artist community.
Now, for people, we say we have so many newcomers here. They look at South End and it looks like a fait accompli. It wasn't long ago. I remember South End the way it was when you moved into it, and it really was vaguely dangerous at night because there was nothing there but vacant buildings and empty lots and things that had gone to seed. And today it is this vibrant place where they're building every square inch of it out with apartments and condominiums, and the light rail runs through the middle of it, and there are restaurants and stores and shops, and it's a whole different world. What if you'd moved in and none of that had happened?
I would have been terribly disappointed.
What about you, Terry? You moved your firm.
Well, same. You know, I came same, similarly. I had a split with my partner in that 1992 recession, and half the firm went with me, half stayed. And I was in down on Fifth Street, and we were looking for cheap space, and Tony had it. I think it was $3 per square foot in Atherton Mill at the time. And when we moved in, we said, well, if we're going to grow a district, I don't want to be the only thing down here. An odd thing happened. Like you said, things happen incrementally, Mike. We had a restaurant tour come to Kevin and I. The guy had been a partner in Fog City Diner in San Francisco, and in Mustard's Bar and Grill in Napa Valley. Great restaurants. He wanted to do a restaurant in downtown Charlotte. And we said, you know what? I've been downtown. It's great. You know, no offense, Ted, in terms of Mike, too. But we said, we've got this new district here, and you can be the leader in this. And by the way, you can even take the name of our new district. You can do South End Smokehouse and Brewery. So now we have a brand beacon to match up with our new nascent district, a place where people can come and experience it. Charlotte at the time didn't have a microbrewery.
Right.
So the guy took the bait. You know, we were selling hard, you know, and it's history. I mean, South End Brewery Smokehouse for a long time was a staple in South End. A lot of people see newcomers don't even know there was a South End Brewery because it's no longer there, of course.
Right. And they painted their name on the smokestack that's out there, right? South End? Or who did that?
You know, that was part, I think, of I think Tony actually did that back in the day when
it was
starting.
Mecca Properties.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Let me bring Ted Boyd into this conversation. He's with Charlotte Center City Partners, and they're kind of the proponents of South End, even though their name is Charlotte Center City Partners, and South End is not the center city. And already Terry has encouraged business to move out of downtown.
We're all friends now.
What are the boundaries? Actually, I looked at a map of South End, and they are not the boundaries that I thought they would be. So what are the boundaries? What constitutes the area?
Sure. The easy way to think about it is 277, the south end of Uptown, coming down South Boulevard all the way down to New Bern by the Pepsi plant, and then it cuts over to through Griffith and Foster to South Tryon Street, comes back up north, hits about Summit Avenue, kind of right there where Summit, Tryon, and Camden come together, sneaks over to Mint Street, and then back up to Moorhead. So it's roughly a square mile, about 500 acres.
And on the east side of it, the boundary is usually the businesses along South Boulevard, but there's one point where it goes to Caldwell and over to Euclid Avenue, and on the west side it goes as far as Graham Street. And I'm curious as to why it's a jagged pattern. Why
it's social and economic gerrymandering. What can you say? There's a history with every line, I'm sure.
When you came up with the name South End, and when the two of you moved in and started businesses and started being boosters for that area and trying to attract other businesses, what did you see as the boundaries? What did you think they were going to be? What was the area in your mind?
I always thought of it as what had been referred to as the no man's land between Dilworth and Wilmore. And I think that was part of my vision, was to see the trolley sort of bind those two together. We refer to the trolley in many instances as the zipper that pulls those two neighborhoods together.
That's right.
You went there, I believe, before there was a promise of light rail.
Oh, way before.
And probably before there was a mention of light rail. And you went there before the trolley began running on the tracks. You're the one that effectively got the trolley to run on the tracks. So why was the trolley so important to you?
You know, Charlotte's one of those wonderful cities that has a great lifestyle and working environment, but it has no geographic feature. And we're not on the shores of a coastline, and we're not at the the foot of some mountains.
Don't have a space needle.
And yeah, exactly. So to me, that opportunity for the rail that ran right through the center of the city was to create sort of our version of a geographic feature.
Now, you know, in previous Charlotte Squawks productions years ago, we would make merciless fun of the trolley.
Of course, sure. That was part of its character.
But then you actually made it happen. And when you put that trolley on the tracks, and the trolley ran from Atherton Mill down to what?
Down to Stonewall. The city actually, it was a joint venture between Norfolk Southern Railroad, okay. Charlotte Trolley, a nonprofit group, and the city. And so the city built a stop that was at the top of the hill where the Omni is. And you were able to ride the trolley from Atherton Mill to downtown and get off and take the sidewalk down to College Street and onto the convention center.
And what was that, a quarter of a mile, maybe?
Maybe just almost a half a mile, I think.
And that attracted hordes of people on the weekends.
Oh, it was wonderful. And, you know, when I reminisce on the crowds that were drawn and the diversity of the crowds and the energy that it had, it was really something special.
And eventually, it ran, I think, all the way to 7th Street, didn't it?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
But then along comes this thing called light rail, which kind of pushed the trolley right off. Originally, I believe the intent was to run the trolley with the light rail, which
that was the vision.
Goal. I kind of knew that wasn't going to work. But so the trolley has gone away, and the light rail has taken its place. Talk to me about what South End would be like had the light rail never come to fruition.
It's a good question. You know, obviously, the streetcar, the trolley, was originally a mode of transportation. As Gaines mentioned, those of us who were involved with that, and my history goes back when I gave Dan Marl out of historic Berryhill Foundation in Fourth Ward extra money we had left over after we got a few through moving houses around. I was part of that mm-hmm. to renovate the car. But it was always this thing that was a cultural attraction, but it could work as transit. And we saw it working in those early days as transit. So if the light rail had not happened, I think you still would have seen neighborhoods develop there along that streetcar with the character more of a New Orleans than of, say, a major, truly major city.
So you were also responsible for the birth of Fourth Ward, because Fourth Ward was also in the 70s.
Oh, I was there. In fact, Ron Morgan was a professor of mine at UNC at the time, and we did, back in 1975, a charrette for that, which was led then really by a young EVP, I think he was, at North Carolina National Bank, Hugh McCall. Mm. He had his fingerprints even back in 1975 on that. And I remember bringing a guy from New Orleans who headed the historic district down there. I picked him up, brought him from the airport, took him to the Fourth Ward. He rode around. He said, "You brought me up here for this? There's no history here. Take me back to the airport." I said, "No, sir. My job is to deliver you to First Presbyterian Church where the charrette's being held, and you will arrive."
People don't understand this either because they haven't lived here long enough. But right. Fourth Ward in the 70s was nothing. And
absolutely.
You brought homes in. So it looks today like they've always been there.
Absolutely. People, that's the funny thing about history, is that people think history always starts where their memory begins, but it's not true, obviously. You know, it's funny, Mike, you talked about the trolley as it led to light rail. Gaines, I remember you guys had gone down and met with the planning director at the time, and you didn't get support for bringing it all the way downtown. I remember that. It was about 2 weeks later that Kevin and I got a call then from Mr. McCall. Mm-hmm. Who had just pulled the first arena off the docket, City Council, because if you remember, there was a lot of reaction against that very first arena. Uh-huh. And he met with us, Kevin and I, in South End, and said, "I want to hear the story of South End, because you guys are doing so much down here on a shoestring. I want to learn." I said, "Well, we need to break down the barriers of what uptown means so you can embrace these first ring communities."
And we'll talk some more about that when we come back from the break. Gaines Brown, Terry Shook, Ted Boyd with us talking about the history of South End. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Charlotte Restaurant Week. From July 19th through 28th, over 100 fine dining establishments will offer prefix dinners of three courses or more, menus and reservations at charlotterestaurantweek.com. Speaking of eating, perhaps you saw the article in today's paper about the paleo diet. Well, a couple of months ago, we had that same conversation with some folks about eating like a caveman. There's an obesity epidemic in America, and even before we knew that, people talked about dieting, and perhaps the secret to healthy living is a healthy lifestyle, one that involves both exercise and diet. And if you eat like a caveman, one expert suggests, well, you'll live better, you'll feel better, you will be better. We'll talk about the paleo lifestyle and how to accomplish that in a 21st century world tomorrow at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, Texas Governor Rick Perry recalls the state legislature for a special session on proposed new abortion restrictions. Abortion rights in Texas and other states across the country.
Join us for the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon, way after Charlotte Talks, here on listener-supported public radio, where 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're here with some people who are the George Washingtons of... They really are. Of Charlotte. Gaines Brown, who is responsible for the revitalization of the trolley and was the early pioneer to move back into an area that was really devastated, the South End area, after the mills left and everything went to seed. He brought his design business there and was the first pioneer, so to speak, to go southwest, young man. Terry Shook is also with us, a founding partner of Shook Kelly, and he was one of the people responsible for not only the revitalization of South End, but Fourth Ward. And Ted Boyd is here. He's director of South End for Charlotte Center City Partners, which I'm told is part of the Center City. It sounds like an oxymoron, but tell me why it is that you guys downtown, who are boosters for downtown and want everything downtown, you are actually the uptown crowd, as you are referred to in Southeast Charlotte. Why you take ownership of South End?
Well, I think as we're telling the story or hearing from Terry and Gaines, the vision that they had and seeing it come to fruition, the efforts that they had in making this a municipal service district, they wanted to be able to see their vision carried out.
And what does that mean, municipal service
district? The municipal service district, South End, is a special tax district. It's 0.067% per $100 valuation, which is a way that it's funded to be able to carry out the long-term vision, economic development, marketing, mm-hmm. events, to make it an interesting place. The South End Development Corporation that was established went to the city and asked ways for the city to be able to help them manage the district, and one of those was looking at Center City Partners as being able to help manage that. Mm-hmm. And through a process, we took on that managerial role. And so my position is working with our entire staff at Center City Partners to carry out the vision of what Gaines and Terry and many others in South End, Dilworth, and Wilmore wanted to see happen.
And Mike, if I may add to that story, it goes back to the very beginning, because when Mr. McCall came to us and wanted to know the story of the South End thing was happening, we said you need to break down what the barriers are. As you said, people will always refer to Center City as the uptown crowd, when in fact, urban Charlotte includes all of these first-tier neighborhoods that are outside the Beltway. This Beltway has existed like a noose around our neck for a long time.
So you're talking about Elizabeth and
Myers Park exactly, and Dilworth, Wilmore. All these neighborhoods are part of the Center City in terms of urban Charlotte. So we said, and the first act, basically, when Rob Walsh, remember Rob, mm-hmm. when he came to Charlotte? Mm-hmm. Rob's first charge for Center City Partners was help these guys out in South End, help make this real. And in fact, it was Center City that was behind the very first, another poster here, of the trolley charrette back in the day, which helped define a South End around transit, which was the trolley at that point in time.
Now, I want to go back to the pioneer here, Gaines Brown, who I know when you, because you're in the design business, and I know that when you moved to South End, you saw this as the antithesis of what uptown had become because of the presence of the banks. The pinstripe, button-down, very conservative area versus what you wanted South End to be, which was kind of a funky, creative. How would you describe what
well,
you
Well, I think Jim Palermo and I had a conversation one day, and he very succinctly described what I think it is pretty close to accurate. he described downtown Charlotte as a blue pinstripe suit, and South End is more of a corduroy jacket with elbow patches and blue jeans. Mm-hmm. And to me, you know, it takes that kind of mix and culture to make a real city and to give it some character.
But then you get one of the blue pinstripe suits involved, like Hugh McCall, and you get Charlotte Center City Partners involved, and they're all about boosterism and about the world how great Charlotte is with our gleaming towers, and they're coming in and screwing this all up for you, aren't they?
No, not at all. It's funny because I'll never forget the day that I got a call. It was a Saturday morning from Chris Allen, who was one of the volunteers and mechanic slash engineer for Charlotte Trolley, and he gave me a call and he said, "You won't believe who's in the trolley museum." And I said, "Who's that?" And he goes, "Mr. McCall is here," and he keeps running his finger up and down a map that is on a panel that says "Vision of the Future," and it was actually a panel that Ron Morgan and I stayed up late one night writing copy for and donating the exhibits to the trolley barn. And he, Chris said, he keeps running his finger up and down the map and putting his glasses on his head and just, he's been here 2 hours now studying this panel. And the reality was that was a Saturday, and Mr. McCall was wearing blue jeans. So he wasn't a full-time blue pinstripe suit kind of guy.
He has a pickup truck. He's a pretty laid-back guy. I read that when you christened the area, Terry, Historic South End, you did it with a chuckle.
Bit tongue-in-cheek again. You know, Charlotte's a place, as all of our mentors, you know, Dr. Nan Morrill, at least a professor of mine in college, for crying out loud, has always said, you know, Charlotte is about boosterism. I mean, we threw 1875, we said, you know, this new South thing, it's a pretty good deal. The 19th century didn't turn out too well. Let's get on with the 20th century, you know, and let's throw away old ideas. And while we're at it, let's throw away the old clothes, which were our buildings. And that's an unfortunate part of it. But Charlotte's always been about the new, every 20 years, the new, the next new. So history is a relative term. That's true everywhere. Look, now we're celebrating mid-modern houses, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. As an architect, I find that encouraging. But it was. It was tongue firmly planted in cheek, because we didn't really have, most people think of Charleston. You know, we had old warehouses. That old was a relative term again. Some were 1890s in South End. A few,
right?
But most were from the 1920s and 1950s. Like our old, quote-unquote, building that I have in South End that I own dates from the 1950s. But it will soon be a vanishing breed because everything's being torn down now.
Is it my imagination, but once, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, once South End began to take shape and began to have its own character emerging from the dirt and the barbed wire and the vacant buildings and the weeds, a lot of new construction all over town began to take on the character of South End. Is that my imagination?
That's an interesting,
it is an interesting observation.
But, you know, one of the first influences that South End as a community had on development was when Eckerd's was proposing to build a new building at East Boulevard and South Boulevard. And they were going to do their blue tile Eckerd's, you know, process. And a group got together and made a pitch to Eckerd's to do something that was more within the fabric of the historic nature. And what ended up the result was a building that's brick with arched windows that look like they've been bricked over. And it's sort of reminiscent of a textile warehouse or textile factory that went through its period of having big windows for daylight and then later for security and efficiency and energy, bricked up those windows. So when you look at the backside from the trolley side or the light rail side of the building, I guess it's Rite Aid maybe now, then it's reflective of that architectural trend. But as Terry was saying, I have a building on my block that's 1893. Mm-hmm. And when you see, like, the Factory South was the old Lance Cracker factory, and the Miller Services building was a Southern Exposition Center, which was Charlotte's first convention center. And the Design Center is all buildings that were part of the Niebel Textile Mills complex. So there is really a lot of historic fabric still in place.
Yeah, there is history there. It's not just new buildings that look old. It's old buildings.
There are old buildings. I'm glad you introduced this point, because we're at that fulcrum point, you know, Mike. It's 20 years now since one could say, you know, 20, 21, 22. We're saying 20, you know, as of last year when South End started, you know. And so last year, with the help of Center City Partners and Historic South End, we did a retrospective. Let's look back at those 20 years. Let's look forward, the things that have been good, the things that have been bad, and the threats to South End. And it's interesting, you know, we brought in developers. Actually, full disclosure, there are a couple of clients of mine, but they don't do work in Charlotte, so they didn't have any political axe to grind one way or another, right? One was a fellow from Washington, D.C. They do a lot of transit work there. And one fellow from Pasadena, California, similarly, lots of transit work. And their assessment of South End was, we love the bones, we love the old historic buildings, the quirky things that happen on the street, the things that are almost random, unpatterned, but small-scaled, he said. But they delivered a pretty biting indictment of the new development that's happened in South End, particularly with a lot of the large multifamily projects that have landed.
What did they say?
Well, basically they said, that basically they'd reviewed our codes, and they said basically our codes are too weak, that they would love to invest in South End, but the bar is too low from a planning and development standpoint. And part of the reason for that is, I think it's twofold. I don't think any of us thought that it would take off the way it has in the last 5 or 6 years. A lot of reasons for that, of course, but essentially – you know, we could do better. We can tighten up. Because think about it. We live our urban environments. You know, you're a world traveler. You and many of your listeners are. We live it from the first 25 feet. It's about the street.
Right.
It's about the syncopation of the street. So when you start to bring in really large projects that are formulaic, that are led by bankers with spreadsheets as opposed to urbanists who understand how a place really lives, it's a threat. You start to get projects.
When did Charlotte Center City Partners get involved with South End?
We got involved in about 2005.
So not that long ago. Did you see – because what's happening right now, we went through this recession. When the recession hit, they had begun some construction on vacant lots, and that just stopped along South Boulevard near the Auto Bell, as a matter of fact. It just stopped, and all of a sudden – there is a remarkable amount of construction of multifamily apartment and I guess some condo buildings going up in and around South End that is predicted to double the population of South End by 2015, which is just 2 years from now. Double the population. Did you guys anticipate that? You didn't see that coming? You didn't advocate for that? You didn't work hard to attract that kind of development?
Well, I've been in the role for 3 years. It's good that we have the George Washingtons, as you said, helping us with that that understanding. But light rail was a tremendous catalyst in that development. The hard work that the neighborhood and community was doing was really, I think, what was pushing it. And then light rail helped trigger so much more of that development.
But didn't we know that was going to happen? Wasn't that one of the things that the light rail proponents said would happen and wanted to happen and that would make it pay off in the long run?
Yes, and I think in South End we see that happen.
But then what does that do to your vision gains? Because I've seen architectural drawings of what South Boulevard might look like in 20 years, and maybe sooner, given all the development that we're seeing down there. And it looks somewhat futuristic because they draw them that way when they're talking 20, 30 years out. But it also looks completely unlike what it looks today. It's very polished. It's very urban. It's very manicured.
Well, it's really sort of a vision come to fruition, but it actually puts people on the street, and that's where the vibrance of the community is based on the pedestrian.
But you wanted this to be funky and alternative.
Oh, well, it'll always be funky because of the caliber of people and the creative types.
I mean, if you continue to build these multi-story, multi-family units up and down the rail line and beyond that, several blocks in either direction, won't the property values reach the point where you can't have a fat burrito anymore? Where you can't have a common market because the real estate values are just simply prohibitive. You'd have to sell that building.
That is a threat, and I do have concerns for the fact that so much of what's being built right now is multifamily residential only, because I think it takes a true mixed-use development to maintain the character and to maintain the pedestrian and lifestyle of what is in place now.
And is that what you're talking about when you talk about zoning?
That's what I talk about, Mike. It's about understanding that, yes, South End will change. All places change. You don't freeze. I mean, Colonial Williamsburg, you freeze in time, I suppose.
Right.
Another former client of mine, incidentally. But But real places.
You get around, don't you?
Really,
stays pretty busy.
Real places do, in fact, change. And it's, again, we experience it at the street. And as you say, some of the multifamily developments on there are like, you know, they're like Popeyes and King Kongs. They're out of scale, they're out of proportion, and they don't have a street life.
Why aren't we controlling this? You guys are the founding fathers of Southland, the two of you.
Well, I would say building on what Terry was saying, going back to this kind of community charrette, you know, one component.
What is a charrette, for those who don't know?
A charrette is, it was a couple days of community input so that we could get the feedback on what does the community see happening. We have local experts and professionals as well as the outside experts come in and really spending time thinking about South End.
Okay.
The design guidelines was one component of that. Preserving the authentic retail that's there, the mom and pop components, but realizing that we're going to see some of the big box stores that might, or the big box retail that might be on South Boulevard or some of those pieces. Right. How do we preserve that? Creating that pedestrian connectivity. So that way it's walkable, bikeable, friendly, and getting around, getting those people on the street like Gaines was saying.
Are we losing control of that?
Well, I think we're at the point where we can start to gain control. Again, that's where I said I don't think anyone saw the pace happening. We knew where it was going, right. Mike, but I think now—
What is driving the pace? Why is it happening
part of it, I think, is coming out of the recession is that, you know, two things— that the millennials really don't necessarily want to own. They want to own a car, for crying out loud. You look at that. The car companies are biting their nails to the bone because car ownership and even driver's license among the millennials is down.
They can live there.
They can live there like a car, have a life. If we make sure that we have a full-on, vibrant street life, and we do have goods and services, which means big boxes that are close by. Because we do want these things, right? Mm-hmm. So the key is, here's the point. We can do 200 and 300-unit apartment blocks along South End, and they can work. Again, it's about the first 25 feet. Is it friendly to the street? Everything can't be retail, because I can tell you that. It needs to be congregated in a certain place, and we have a story for that. But it needs to be walkable, friendly streets. It can't be parking garages that open up to the street, you know, anything.
One of the things that makes South End neat is the fact that it's very small. The streets are very narrow. They're not wide boulevard, except for South Boulevard. They're not wide streets. And yet, if you're putting in how many units?
Oh, my goodness. You have the number.
You're doubling the population.
1,800.
How much?
1,800 units under construction right now. With more in the pipeline.
Where are those people going to drive? What will the streets be like in 2 years?
I think what's great is people move to South End because of the convenience and the options. They don't have to drive. They can walk. They can bike. They can take the light rail. There's bike share programs. So I think it's that,
that
option of doing that. Yeah,
What if they don't? What if they get in their car and go?
And that's the question. That's the pivot. Because I will tell you, just like where you're going, density without urbanism is pure hell. And that's why you see the recent initiatives led by Historic South End Center City Partners for the rail trail. You may have seen that a few months ago. It came out, the idea that can we take and do a new kind of park for Charlotte? Can we take that area between Tremont and Bland Street and along that section of the trail and create this place that redefines what it means to enjoy outdoor environments with retail?
And we can or can't?
We can.
Okay.
If we choose to, yes.
All right, we have to stop. We're going to come back. And I'd like to go back to the beginnings if we can. If anybody's, we go back to 1852 for just a couple of minutes here. Hey, the history of South End today. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Fisher & Phillips LLP, a national labor and employment law firm representing employers in North Carolina from the Charlotte and Columbia offices. Partner Mike Honeycutt and Fisher & Phillips on the web at laborlawyers.com. Texas Governor Rick Perry recalls the state legislature for a special session on proposed abortion restrictions. You can join Diane Rehm and her guests to talk about abortion rights in Texas and in other states around the country in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock on the Diane Rehm Show. But perhaps you have something to say about South End. Now would be the time. You can join our conversation in many different ways at WFAE.org/Charlotte Talks, even at 704-926-WFAE or 800-603-WFAE. And we're coming right back.
Cracking passwords and getting around firewalls, it can be a thrill, but there comes a time when even a hacker has to choose.
You've got two ways you can go. You can go work for the good guys, good pay, travel to interesting countries, never have to look over your shoulder.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, hacking for good or evil, next time on Marketplace from APM.
Join us this evening at 6:30 on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE.
The history and the future of South End, the topic today on Charlotte Talks here on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins with Gaines Brown, who was responsible for the trolley being revitalized and put on the tracks in South End, and also was the very first, he was the pioneer, the very first person to come out of the uptown area and move into this desolated area that was South End then. Terry Shook is a founding partner with Shook Kelly and a visionary who helped create what is South End today and what is Fourth Ward today, as a matter of fact. And Ted Boyd, director of South End for Charlotte Center City Partners. The rail trail came up a moment ago, and I'm not sure people know what that is. I'm not sure we've ever talked about the rail trail on this program. What is it?
So the rail trail right now along the light rail line from New Bern, and it even connects up through Center City up to about 277, there is a concrete path, a pedestrian path that's along that. The idea is to take that to a greater vision and seeing this as a linear park where we can have little episodes, little parklets, places of rest all along that can connect the neighborhood, make it a more interesting experience. There have been references to High Line in New York. Other cities have.
High Line is that park that runs on top of what used to be a highway?
Right.
A rail line.
Uh-huh. So there's this idea of being able to identify and develop these little pieces of land that are left over or hidden and repurposing them to make it a more interesting and inviting place.
You know, Gaines, you had this vision of this being kind of a funky arts area where creative types would gather and businesses would locate. And that sounds, your vision sounds to me like more like what NoDa is today than what South End is today.
Well, you know, I think it took a little bit longer to build South End, and in that comes some sustainability. But I think that it was like a deja vu almost when I sat in on the Rails Trails project. Mm-hmm. I think David Furman was speaking, and it reminded me of how sincerely Charlotte Trolley was interfaced with the new urbanism concepts back in the mid-90s, and we used to refer to pocket parks and little entertainment areas and special spots along the rail corridor to encourage pedestrian interaction.
Because NoDa has been trying to redevelop itself and put itself on the map as this arts district for years. What's the difference between what happened in South End and what is happening there?
That's a good point because, we're involved doing the mills, renovating the mills in NoDa right now. So I've got to know a little more about that community. And see, I think NoDa's roots were always pure art. And the roots, just like Gaines and I are sitting here, testament to it, the roots of South End was design. They're both creative disciplines, but they're miles apart, really, when you get into the arts and design.
One's business and one's not.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, you always have a client when you're a designer.
Let's go back to the 1850s. The South End began because of the railroad arriving here from Columbia. In what, 1852?
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And it sprang up as what, a warehouse district or as a mill area?
It was active mills. When you think of Atherton Mill, it was actually looms and equipment. And
because the cotton would arrive on the railroad from Columbia, and they would take the cotton and turn it into product?
Exactly. And there were cotton fields. I've seen photographs of Tremont Avenue as cotton fields back then. And when you think about the timing of James Buchanan Duke, which at the time was Southern Public Utilities Company, building the Lake Wylie Hydroelectric Station. I think it came online in 1904. Mm-hmm. And so that powered the mill. So it wasn't really warehouses. It was sort of like the leading edge of an industrial park.
And leading edge, like the textile. I mean, I think I have my history correct. There's still the two-story building, the long one that that is along Camden, that in the 19th century, Charlotte had the audacity to even say, we're going to have a world exposition of textile machinery down there. Talk about boosterism. Charlotte's always been about that.
Yeah. So at its pinnacle, what was the South End of old, of the 19th century and the early 20th century? Like, how many mills, how many people worked in those mills, where did they live? Is that why Wilmore and Dilworth grew up on both sides of South Boulevard?
Well, it's interesting about Dilworth. You know, Dilworth was a resort community. It was the first streetcar community. Seriously, Edward Dilworth Latta got together, you know, and Edison himself worked on that streetcar. But it was seen as a resort community for Charlotte. They ran the streetcar out there, the trolley, and remember there was the lake out there. I mean, at the time, and if you look at the history of all these streetcars, this was a way to use electricity, this newfangled thing, electricity. Once you get through powering mills, what else can we do? Oh, we can do transit, and people can buy a ticket and buy electricity. Then they put amusement rides at the end of the trolley lines. This is the history all across America, and sold a person a ticket to ride a merry-go-round or a Ferris wheel, and so it's another way to sell electricity. Of course, once electricity really caught on, all that went away. But that was the history of Dilworth. Now, Wilmore is a little later, and it probably very much was housing for people that were working in the mills, most likely management level on up. But it was a new blossoming of Charlotte, Mike, getting beyond the 19th century city into a true 20th century place.
So how many people lived and worked there at the height of it all? Do you know? Anybody know?
I'm not a detail person like
when
that.
When did it start to fall apart?
You know, I think you can probably track it with the textile industry, you know, across America. I mean, I'm from Gastonia, crying out loud, the home of textile industries. And, you know, once it started being offshored, you know, to Puerto Rico and the rest of the place.
So at its nadir, when there was nothing there, before you moved in, Gaines, and before Terry, you got involved, and certainly before Center City Partners got involved, how bad was it? I remember it being pretty dismal when I would drive through there on the way to work at 3:30 in the morning when I was doing the morning show at another station. It was pretty dismal. It's the kind of place you didn't want to even stop for the stoplight at 3:30 in the morning.
I think it was a lot. I think it was looked scarier than it was.
I agree.
And one of the things that I always took comfort in is the fact that Wilmore, even though it was a blighted community, it was still full of families. You had your aunts and uncles and grandmother that lived around the corner. And so that's why I identified the area as being safer than people perceived it. And I think in the early years, a big part of my goal was to have people come to visit. We would do block parties and mm-hmm. events. And if people came and visited South End and realized it was safe enough to come back, then I felt like we had done our job.
I mean, same. We were down there since 1992. And I think in two different locales, we've had maybe three incidents of criminal activity, and they were car break-ins. That's all.
I want to open the phones and share some emails with you in a second or two. But I'm curious about you guys at Charlotte Center City Partners, because you say, well, South End is Center City, but it really isn't Center City. It may be one day, but right now it still has a distinctly different character.
Right.
So when you're out there boosting Charlotte,
sure.
How do you describe South End versus downtown?
Well, I think you're absolutely right.
Or do you still
right.
call it uptown?
I think South End is not uptown. Uptown is not South End
okay.
in that sense. And my role, I feel, is trying to understand South End and to be able to interpret that lens back to our Center City Partner staff, so that way the work that we do reflects the place. And I think the edge of town new brand campaign that we have is really reflective.
What
of,
is that?
We worked hard to come up with a new brand campaign for how do we define and understand South End. And we refer to it as the edge of town. People are like, well, where is it geographically located? I think it's edge of uptown is a great sense. But talking and nodding to the edginess and mm-hmm. the interesting and the unique mm-hmm. layers that are there. So it's the twofold piece.
There has been an idea that has been battled around for years, and I'd like to get your reaction to it, and that is paving over part of 277 to connect South End with Uptown and making it a walking district, a park, essentially. Is that something that's ever going to happen? Is that something that would be desirable if it did?
Yes, all for it. I think it'd be a great thing. Secondly, again, those of us who, these George Washington's in the room, you've been here a long time too. What this city has changed, hasn't mm-hmm. it, Mike?
Yes, sir.
When you look at capping the freeway, a whole freeway got capped in Boston, and there are portions of that that got capped around the Prudential Center. Every city's had small caps at a certain point in time. When the real estate values that you can create by capping start to equalize what it takes to redevelop adjacent properties, then you'll see. I think Mr. McCall said a great thing last year to the mayor of City of Lexington. I'm doing work there, and he said urban revitalization takes place when greed starts to replace fear.
And would it be difficult if you cap that to keep it a park as opposed to using it as a place to put more businesses?
I think you need both, and I think I will tell you, I'm up in Boston a lot. I have a lot of work up there these days and, of course, teach at Harvard, and I have a chance to study the cap. You know, over the and most people around Boston will tell you one of the biggest mistakes they made when they capped that freeway in Boston is that it's just park and there's not enough buildings to create urban spaces with great buildings that are edging that. So you have the cafes, and you have people coming out from buildings there. So they work together. So, yeah, I think you have both.
And I think the vision of the rail trail, too, has that ability to connect that trail up across 277, so an intermediate to the, you know, an in-between before any capping would take place. But that's part of that vision in that rail trail.
Put your headphones on. We'll take a couple of phone calls, and we'll begin with somebody in South End. Ann, welcome to the program. You're on WFAE.
Yes, good morning, Mike. Thank you for taking my call. I've been living in South End probably about 15 years. I live in the old Lance building, and I'm one of the original residents to move in. And when I first moved into this area, the trolley was to be an integral part of the light rail design. It was to run uptown, and along the light rail path, you were supposed to be able to walk all the way uptown. And because of budget cuts, they had to stop that path. And my question is, when is the Raleigh going to become an integral part again of South End?
Well, I would love to think that that will happen sooner rather than later. You know, it has been demonstrated in Portland, Oregon, that trolleys and light rail can coexist, and I see that it's the right blend. But I think Tony Presley once put it well, that it'll happen when the market can sustain it. And I think part of my hopes are that even this conversation and this program this morning will reignite some interest in bringing the trolley back and coexisting.
You're going to put the trolley on the streetcar line when the streetcar line is up and running initially, at least.
That's true.
For the first couple of years, right?
Exactly. And an interesting tidbit about that is that in 1994, we presented the plan for the Charlotte trolley to run from Atherton Mill to 7th Street, and the second leg was to run from Johnson C. Smith to Presbyterian Hospital, which is the line that they're referring to now as the streetcar line. So all things take time, and the better they are, the longer it takes sometimes.
If I may add to the caller, I'm not so sure we'll see the trolley line back on the light rail line. And as an urban planner, as one of the historical people associated with South End, I have a problem with that. But as an urban planner, I think it's fine because it will have a role. You will see the emergence of that streetcar again in a whole new district within the next probably 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. But the other thing you said about being able to walk along that trail, that's what when we talk about the rail trail. Hopefully, Ted, you know, within 2 to 5 years, you're going to see some dramatic improvements in that.
But when if ever, will it cross 277?
Well, there's
that
a way.
That is a thing that strangles the center city.
That is. There's a mitigating plan that's a part of the rail trail vision that addresses that so you can get across much, much better than you can now.
Right. Even the improvements that have been made on the South Tryon Street Bridge is one great step in widening those sidewalks and pieces, but really seeing how you can take that, you know, really land that's not being used right now.
And let me ask you why it's important to have the trolley running on that rail line as opposed to the light rail if you're using it as a vehicle to get from South End to, say, to uptown. Why is it important that it be a trolley as opposed to the light rail vehicles?
Well, I don't think it should be one or the other. I think it should be both. I think they complement each other.
Okay.
And I think the trolley just adds so much history and uniqueness. I remember when I first lived, when I first moved to the area, I used to go to the trolley barn, and there was lots of trolley cars in the barn. There was always people working on the cars, and it just added such a unique flavor to the area that I really would like to see stay in the South End area.
I'm going to guess. You're from Brooklyn?
Yes, I am.
Okay, just guessed. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye. Let's go to Dennis in Charlotte. Welcome. Hey, Dennis.
Good morning, Mike.
Morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment, particularly for Gaines. In 1983, I was looking for a photography studio space to renovate. I had known Gaines for several years, so I called him and asked him about it, and he said, yes, he had some rental property, but it's pretty rough, and the neighborhood isn't the best, but it certainly has potential. So I went over and looked at the space, and a flashlight in one hand and a stick in the other to take care of whatever I might find, and renovated and stayed there with him for almost 20 years. And I just want to applaud Gaines and other people like him who have great visions to change such a place as this.
Thank you, Dennis.
Dennis, thank you for your call. Rebecca emails, I think it would be remiss if you did not mention Pewter Rose Bistro. This studio, right now where we sit, used to be Pewter Rose.
That's correct.
Part of it. But anyway, the restaurant opened in the South End in 1988. It was an extremely popular destination restaurant that brought hundreds of people to South End before it was South End. It was one of the very first businesses that had the vision and the courage to experiment in this area, and I wonder if it had any influence on Terry Shook and his associates.
Well, they were clients, of course. We did other
Who
things
wasn't?
Right there. Well, we did the bar next door and the Sunset Club below that. But I say here, and thanks for they were the pioneers. You know, and the thing about these places, they always refer to these districts, you know, are really made manifest by PIBs, people in black. Gaines has the black shirt on today. I have the black trousers. But it's the creatives that go in. They were one of them.
I have 15 seconds. And Alex on Twitter wants to know what you think is the next district ripe for revitalization. Anybody?
Well, I'm involved in Brightwalk over in the new North End. And I think that's one of the next big ones on the horizon. You should have a show on Brightwalk, by the way.
I've never heard of Brightwalk.
Well, then there you go. We're going to introduce.